May the Lord's sweet presence be with you. Tonight it's April 16th, 2015, at 4:27 a.m. And tonight we have a special treat. Ezekiel, I'm going to interview Ezekiel after I share with you the word the Lord gave me just a moment ago. And I've had a couple people ask me why I keep such late hours. And I just wanted to clarify, we have a mission here in Taos, New Mexico, and we feed the homeless and the poor. And during the day, there's a lot of interruptions. And we go out to collect food and that kind of thing. And also with fibromyalgia, it seems that my body doesn't wake up until late evening. And the same for Ezekiel. He has the same issue. So we end up working into the wee small hours of the morning and sleeping part of the day. But it's normal for us, so it's not that we're, you know, burning the candle at both ends, because I don't think our bodies would handle that. But tonight, the Lord came to me with a very short message. The Lord began, "There are a lot of men holding out on me, saying, this is a woman's thing, it isn't for guys." Nothing could be further from the truth. John rested his head on my bosom. Quite regularly, he listened to the heartbeat of God. He hungered for his God, and he found me. He wasn't about to let me go. Understand that women are a little more disposed to this simple intimacy, which hasn't a hint of carnality behind it. It is the purest love of God a soul can have, in a female earthly body or a male earthly body. Is it not written that in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven? Therefore, there is no excuse for shunning closeness to me. And I had a thought, and I said, "Lord, may I?" And he said, "Yes, you may." What I wanted to say is that this is a purely spiritual relationship. If you're experiencing anything sexual, you are not with Jesus. You're being beguiled by a familiar spirit. In the Lord's presence, there is perfect purity. And if anything like that begins to occur, you can be sure it's demonic. And you should rebuke it and seek the Lord on why he allowed that in your prayer time. It could very well be because he's humbling you. At least that's how I take it. Then the Lord continued. He said, "I loved John with a love so pure, few on earth will ever comprehend it, but in heaven it shall be obvious to all. So to you, Bride of Christ, I say, do not allow anything to lie or condemn you for loving me and wanting to rest your head upon my heart." And that was the end of his message. So I'm going to introduce Ezekiel now.
Well, hi, good evening. It's been a while since I've been with you guys. I want to first thank so many of you for praying for me when I was down with a couple bouts of illness and beginning to get a little eyesight back in the left eye, and abdomen is coming back along here and there. But as Claire says, I'm here. I wanted to comment also. You know, David says,
okay, Gracie,
when he speaks of his friend Jonathan, "Your love to me was sweeter than that of a woman." There's nothing perverse about that. But, you know, we just have taken love and made it such a carnal, fleshly, ugh, you know, we've really sullied it.
Yeah.
And
not love anymore, it's just lust.
I mean, and
and they cite that scripture. Sometimes people will cite that scripture as a justification for homosexuality.
No.
And that's not at all what it's about.
No. You know, there's a love that a comrade on a football team or soccer or whatever, they'll come up and they'll pat each other or, you know, hug each other or whatever. it's, you know, guys on the street, even gang members come up, you know, and they hug and they do their little gang sign. But European communities for ages and centuries, it's been customary for men, like in Greece or Italy, to come up and a light kiss on either cheek, and for the Arab nations as well. And that's a little strange for us in the States here, but I remember growing up.
A kiss on the mouth is, in some cultures, is also a sign of friendship.
Yeah, yeah, that's a little...
We're just very perverse over here in America.
That's a little more than I think I want to do, but the, you know, I came up through the post-World War II generation, and, you know, fathers hugged their sons, and, you know, men could be men and come up and give a good football, baseball hug or pat or high five or whatever. So it's like, where's your heart at, you know? If there's nothing for the enemy to feed on, then you're going to get out of it what you put into it. It's going to filter out. I think the filter is the heart. And sometimes, as Claire said, there may be a time of discipline. Or
yeah,
a little
correction.
Humbling correction. Mm. Did I judge someone? What has caused this door to open? But
right.
Away from the negative and onto the positive aspects of this whole thing, I had to listen to today's video two or three times because my computer kept stalling on me. But it caused me to spend a lot more time and attention on it. And what I'd like to say is when I entered my prayer time, the very first thing the Lord gave me was Psalm 23. And He speaks to me personally through the Scriptures. In other words, I am your shepherd. You'll want for nothing. And I immediately remembered there's a book to the side of our little prayer altar with a picture of Jesus as a shepherd sitting under a large tree. Jerusalem's in the background. There's this beautiful little lamb walking up to Him, you know? And we raised sheep. I know what it's like to birth those babies and to hug them and have them run up and jump with their hard little hooves in your lap, climb on your back. And I know what it is to love a lamb, little lambs and sheep. And I just asked the Lord, can I be your little lamb? Could I come to you like this? Mm-hmm. It's kind of been, I tend to be in the background on productions and things like this that we do.
You're my prayer backup.
Prayer support. And
absolutely.
Trying to offer up, you know, things when I'm not feeling good or whatever.
Fast offerings.
Some support work, but still.
When you're not praying behind me, nothing happens.
Well.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
That's the Lord's grace working through all of us. But I'm not one who's given to seeing and hearing from the Lord on a regular basis. There was a time in the season. That's where the book Chronicles of the Bride came from. But then He tends to taper off with those things, or maybe I do, I don't know. So I've really been pressing into the Lord more lately and wanted to come to Him in a more familiar way.
It was about what you heard this morning, right? Started to spark something in you.
Well, I just...
About letting go of things.
Yeah, this afternoon, on a food bank run from the hospital, I began to reflect again on what Claire said in the video, and family and relatives began to come to mind, and just a sense and a feeling of letting them go. They've not been all wonderful, you know, Cinderella land relationships in my family. But because of some of the hard and harsh things that happened, I guess I tend to forget the good things. So I had to go through a lot of letting go myself and surrendering family, friends, relatives that I probably haven't heard from for 25, almost 30 years.
This is while you were driving home, huh?
Yeah, just when I was driving home from the food bank. Well, tonight I came in, and I normally have a little kind of prayer service, a little kind of time of confession and interceding and communion while Claire is in praise and worship. And then she sits with the Lord. Well, tonight I just felt like I wanted to be closer to Him. I wanted to be in His presence in a more relaxed, different way, more kind of like she does. And so as the music began to play, I just stood here and began to just let myself go and picture the Lord and try to be here in His presence. And I was thinking, well, gosh, Lord, you know, our administrator, Carol, has been really desiring to see and hear from You in that special way. And You beautifully came through for her yesterday. And, you know, Claire sees and hears from You. I haven't seen You or heard You like that for a long time. And It wasn't any big, deep prayer. I just said, could I see You? And I just let it go at that. Well, I'm sitting here and I'm feeling moved by the Holy Spirit in a real relaxed, calm, a supernatural, peaceful way. Mm-hmm. Because I've had some real stressful days and I just didn't feel like that. It was like a real supernatural peace settled in on me. And I went to the scriptures right after I asked Him that, could I see You? And He gave me two scriptures. The first one was John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless or orphaned in other translations. I will come to you.
Mm.
And then
that's a scripture that He gives me every time I go to discernment to check with Him. Lord, is this really You speaking to me?
Yeah.
That's the very scripture He gives me.
Huh. Wow. Well, then the second scripture He gave me was Isaiah 43:4. You are precious in My sight. You have been honorable, and I have loved you. And that moved me so much because we've been through our struggles lately, as Claire shared with you, and had to really rise above and beyond some heroic charity. And when I would feel irritated or frustrated or angry, used, put upon, or whatever, the Lord would cause me to go and do something good for this person instead of saying anything, instead of doing what I'd like to do, or say what I'd like to say.
Oh, the flesh.
Time and time again, He gave me the grace to take a soda out to her, you know, and just sit and just talk with her, just in the midst of the stress and all that. So when He said, you've been honorable, man, it's not real often that we get attaboys from the Lord, you know, that we know of. I'm sure he gives them to us more and we just don't hear it, but sometimes you just really need to hear that the Lord's pleased with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, at that point, I was so moved, I just got on my knees. Praise and worship's going on. Claire's sitting before the Lord. I'm back here in the corner on my knees. And instantly, I saw myself as a little lamb.
Aww.
And I remembered your quoting the psalm last night, today.
Lead the young ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how you talked about the green grass and the beautiful water. And then Psalm 23, you know, I'll lead you to fresh green pastures, you know, lead you beside still waters. So I see myself as a little lamb. There's green grass and cool fresh water. And Jesus is sitting with His legs kind of off of a grassy bank into this little river. And I'm a little lamb, right? And I go right up to Him, and He puts His arm out, and I tuck right up into His right shoulder, just right up, like tucked up under His wing. And it felt so nice and warm, and I felt so little and innocent and pure. And I really needed His covering and His safety protection, a sense of feeling secure lately with all the news of wars and this thing and that thing. It can get to you after a while, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. And I started getting into some fear. So I really, Daddy showed up, God the Father, a couple of times today and reassured me. Sometimes I walk by the clock and it'll say 111. It's like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. You know, 222, it's Jesus. 333, it's all you guys. The Holy Spirit, everybody. So Daddy showed up and was there too. So while I'm the little lamb, feeling and needing this protection and covering, Jesus would transform into God the Father. And he'd be a daddy. And I'd be like a little child, a little boy. And he'd just wrap his mantle around me and pull me in close. And I started remembering, you know, my dad wasn't always all that bad or this thing or that thing. Gosh, I remember many times now when it really counted, when I was really hurting, I mean, really terrorized, afraid, you name it. He'd drop whatever he was doing and come over and put his arm around me and pull me up close, and I felt secure. But a lot of the hard, harsh memories kind of pushed that out.
Yeah.
And it started coming back today. What I'm getting at here is there's a process that's going on between surrendering and then how quickly the Lord begins to restore and bring things back that you may have just surrendered yesterday. So there's the water swirls up out of the bank and around the grass, and it's Jesus, and I'm the little lamb again, and it swirls around us and forms like a love seat. And it's just this beautiful wall of warm water around us. And I'm a little boy again. I'm like 14 maybe. Oh, it felt so warm and so fresh. Sometimes it seemed like I was more like 7. But just a little kid, cut off shorts, no shoes, no shirt. Just like I used to be when I ran around. I grew up on the water. Yeah, and so I ran around like that as a kid.
Well, before this, you said you were releasing, you know, the family came to mind, but you were releasing them to the Lord?
I was, on the ride home, I was releasing them to the Lord. And little did I know that tonight, he was going to show up as the good shepherd by the water. I'm the little lamb, then I'm a little child. And all of a sudden, the first thing that came up was, I don't share this often, but I lost two little boys. Many years ago, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, beautiful children. And I won't get into all the details. The Lord has promised me I'd see them in heaven. Other than that, the very first thing that happened was, here come my two little boys. And I'm no longer 7 or 20 years old. I'm like 26 years old. 30 years old, something. And here's my two little blue-eyed, blonde-haired boys. And they come up and tuck one under each shoulder of my arms while Jesus has his arm around me and all of us. And I just relished that for a minute. I didn't break down crying. It didn't freak me out. It just felt so natural and so warm and so restoring. And I just knew that this was how it was going to be in heaven, that they would be restored to me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And the years at the locust and the
kangaroo.
You know, the years that the one who kills and steals and destroys, all those things would be restored to them and to me. And so I had just gotten used to hear my little boys are cuddled up in my arms. And all of a sudden, my mother and father walk around to the left side of Jesus and hear this water still swirling around. The couch is getting bigger. This water swirling love seat thing. And my mom and dad come around, who have gone to be with the Lord many years ago. And they're younger. And all of a sudden, I'm probably like, I don't know, in my 20s, still with the little boys here. Their names are Christopher and Brendan, by the way. And so here I am with my boys, and my mom and dad are there. And I'm starting to think, wow, this, I have felt for years, I probably walked around for almost 25 years feeling like such an orphan because most of my family has died and is gone. And it's just, I mean, thank God for Claire. I have one living brother and that's it.
And then when you became a Christian, you lost a lot of your family.
You were
alienated from them. They were alienated by that.
Yeah, even those that were close and loved me and cared about. I had a very close family at one time, but I guess you blocked that out. We lived on the water, and uncles and aunts and cousins would drive states away to be there and do little family reunions and fish and swim for
the
3 or 4 days. The bayous of Louisiana, you know. But it was really, really pretty, really nice place. And a lot of that had been kind of fuzzied out. So all of a sudden, you mentioned my relatives and that. My two brothers, the living and the deceased, both come walking up. And my younger brother, who's 54 now, is just like this little 10-year-old kid. And I'm like a 14-year-old kid, just like we were when we ran up and down the banks of the bayou and played in the water and did all that stuff. Jumping off rope swings from cypress trees. You can imagine. I could write a book. I wish I could do the illustrations. It'd be beautiful pictures. So here's my little brother. And he comes up. And he tucks under my arm.
Mm.
And here's a 14-year-old kid and his 10-year-old brother cuddling up together. And that's like, wow. Well,
really special.
Yeah, and then my older brother comes from the left side. And he's younger. He's probably 20-something at this point. He was 60-something when he died. And he puts his arms around me. And so here I am with the Lord, my two little boys, my mom and my dad, both my brothers, and all of a sudden, all of these loving relatives that I had long forgotten about start to come one by one and put their arms around me. And pretty soon, the children were playing. I was a little child. I was running and playing and jumping in the meadow and flowery meadows with Jesus. Lots of little animals, lots of baby animals. For some reason, he just chose to make a lot of the animals baby animals. But I guess because I was a kid and it would really be cute. But it was so sweet because we'd be kind of on the ground. Sometimes we'd be up in the air, a little bit suspended, maybe kind of flying, twirling around. It's like, wow. And the little animals would lap, little tigers and little baby bear, and baby elephant, and you know, and they'd get up in the air and they'd kind of laugh and wee. And these little, it sounds like a children's story.
Yeah, yeah.
Little suspended animals and children playing and frolicking, and Jesus is right in the middle with all of us. And I began to recognize childhood friends when they were little kids, when I was a little kid, and cousins that were young that I used to play with at these reunions. And the coolest part for me was about this time, this really pretty little blonde-haired girl comes up with pigtails. She looked like the little Swiss girl, little Heidi or something, you know? And it was Claire. And she was a little girl. And I'm a little boy. And I couldn't wait to take her around and show her to everyone and introduce her to everyone. And I kept telling, this is my special friend. And she's a girl. So she's my girl friend. My special girlfriend. And it was so, and here I am, this is just going on and on and on.
How long did this go on
for? No, this started about midnight. I'm dead dog tired. I've been up since this morning, worked all day, been in here. And this open vision dream just keeps going on and on and on. In fact, I would nod off to sleep and it would continue as a dream. And I'd wake up and it would continue on as kind of an afterthought.
Open vision.
Vision.
Yeah.
And I'd nod off again and it would pick right back up.
Wow.
For 3 solid hours. This went on, this running and playing and children and little kids and animals. And the last thing I saw when I began to kind of come to myself or wake up again, just about 3 o'clock, we were coming in high altitude over, like if you were flying into heaven somehow, or coming in off a ski lift, or better yet, coming in on a jet into an approaching area. And the trees got bigger and the landscape got more defined. But we're still little children and we're holding on to like maple leaves, almost like a little Walt Disney thing, right? And we're just kind of like parachuting down, floating down into, it was specifically like right after the rapture. It was like we were coming in for landing. After the rapture, after we've been raptured and been caught up with the Lord, we're coming into heaven. It's our arrival. And we're just coming in so beautifully. And, oh my gosh, you know, it almost looked like the Emerald City, the kingdom and the golden streets and all of that. Yellow brick road, so to speak, all the way up. And the meadows and the flowers. And it was just so...
Well.
I could not have made this up or drawn it or cartooned or colored it any better, and it's had a profound effect on me. I work in the background, like I said. I listen to the messages. I try to help with comments and pray for you guys and all of us, but I don't normally get the goodies like this, and I have to say, wow, did I have a 3-hour visitation tonight that just really... I asked the Lord, please, could I not lose it this time? Could I kind of have this and finish out like this? So I just wanted to share that with you tonight and be encouraged.
It all started in worship, mm-hmm. which is what I keep telling everybody. I've got so many people writing to me and asking me, how do I get into this? How do I worship? And I put up a playlist, couple playlists, but basically there's four or five songs that we listen to repetitively, and sometimes we'll play one song over and over again. Jesus, Holy Jesus, and then Praise Him, and then All for, I Surrender All, and All for Jesus, and Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. And those are almost all Terry McAlmon songs. And once I turn those on, we just sit here and we enter into worship. And the music takes you out of yourself, takes you out of your everyday mood and all. I mean, it takes me probably 10 minutes to get rid of all the thoughts in my mind and really, really enter into worship and to be in the Lord's presence. And then we just stay there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, however long the Lord wants to be with us. And normally when He, you know, like He gave you this beautiful vision, that was during my nap time. And normally He'll stop me and He'll say, okay, I want to talk to you now. And that's how I end up writing down the visions. But what you had tonight was just really, really special, very healing. And that's how you know. This is a sign of authenticity. When there's healing, when there's peace, when there's joy, look for the fruit.
Yeah.
If you want to discern if an experience is from God or from your own mind or from the enemy, look for the fruit that it produces.
Right.
If it's pure, and there's no carnality in it, if it's pure, if it's gentle, if it's consoling, if it's healing, all those are signs that it's an authentic experience from the Lord.
And lasting fruit, I'd like to say that we're so 30-second commercial-oriented in this country that we need to be constantly hearing, seeing, reading, entertained, whatever. And too much information is too much information.
Yeah.
And some of us have gotten into trouble sometimes by looking at too many websites, and then we get confused and afraid. The Lord loves simple things best. Mother Teresa was fond of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. When you find something that ministers to your heart and soul, even if you're in the Scriptures, you don't have to make a study out of it. Maybe just read until some verses stand out to you and stop there and chew on it.
Mm-hmm.
Ruminate. Spend some time with that.
And many times the Lord will come in on the tail end of a Scripture and begin to talk to you.
Right.
And it's not your imagination. Right. It's the Lord.
And for those like me who tend to be tired when they come in, you turn on praise and worship, and what's the first thing you do? You fall asleep. And it's like, oh, Lord, please. And I remember, now that I remember, I can almost hear the little Jewish aunt saying, you could ask? You know, it's, I forget to ask him, Lord, could you not let me fall asleep? Could you help me to be alert, to be awake? And just like tonight, I just said, could I see you? I didn't make a big prayer. I didn't really expect a whole lot, to be honest with you. But I forget to ask. And if we ask, first of all, he's the one that probably put the desire in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to see it fulfilled. But it is up to him as to his time and when and where and how. So this caught me out of left field tonight. I didn't expect it. It was just a gift. But I tell you what, I'm going to be having my radar antennas up, and I'm going to be looking for this gift a lot more, and I'm going to be going back to these places a lot more now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that kind of, you know, comes full circle around to the message that the Lord gave me, that some of you guys are not pressing in with the Lord because you think it's not a guy thing. So, you know, it is definitely kosher to spend time with the Lord in a very pure and simple way, and to envision him there and to rest your head over his heart. It's pure. It's beautiful. And that's how he accomplishes healings.
Yeah.
And that's how he fills us with love, so that we can come out and minister to other people. When you feel alienated from the Lord, you don't have that fullness of joy and that presence of God in you. When you go into prayer and worship and he fills you and you're overflowing, then when you go out to reach someone, they're really touched with the overflowing joy that the Lord's given you. But if you don't have that time, then there's still some reticence and some fear and some emptiness there. We have to fill up on his presence and his love in order to reach out to other people with his love.
Well, I remember many years ago when I first experienced the Lord in this way, I thought I had sinned. I thought, oh my gosh, I've gotten too close to the Lord. You know, I had kind of a dream vision. I was actually driving on a freeway in San Antonio, Texas, middle of the business rush hour, and I had to pull off on the median just because this was such a passionate, real experience. And I drifted off into one of these places where the Lord comes into the picture and he puts his arm around you and you're close. And that was basically all it was he just held me, and it was beautiful. But I instantly, the enemy comes in and says, he's God Almighty. How dare you come so close? You should be on your face 10 feet away, you know, from the throne. And I went to a pastor and I said, what have I done? I mean, I'm afraid I've sinned. I've gotten too close to the Lord. And he said, I said, and he's a guy, I'm a guy. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, we want to play ball and deck a few Marines and do manly stuff, you know. It's not like, I wasn't used to this being held and hugged like that for years. And this wonderful pastor looked at me with his big Irish fullback linebacker muscles in his eyes. And he said, Oh, it's beautiful. What a beautiful experience you've had. Oh, this is hot fire from heaven, though. You have to be careful who you share this with. They'll get burned. But no, there's every bit of reverence when you get close to the Lord like that, you know. Excuse my Irish accent. He gave me the freedom to say, there's so much reverence and holiness in John placing his head on the heart of Jesus.
Amen.
Just as much as the beggar and the woman crying at his feet. There's reverence that brings love, and love is what he's looking for.
Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, honey. Thank you, Ezekiel, for sharing that.
Thank you, family, for all your love and support and prayers. And wow, this is just so special.
All right. The Lord bless you, and we pray that anyone who is standing off from the Lord and is afraid, that they'll be encouraged and they'll be able to enter into worship. And if they see the Lord, they'll be able to embrace him without any fear or shame. The Lord bless you, and thank you for tuning in.